It's time for Around the Ozark Sports Scene, brought to you by Fast Break Sports, the largest selection of cards and card supplies in Southwest Missouri. Now here's your host, Scott Purrier.
Welcome to Around the Ozark Sports Scene, episode 22. I am Scott Purrier. As always, thank you for tuning in and joining us. Special guest today is a retiring Republic High School girls basketball coach, Chris Flood, who won a couple state championships and more than 500 games and just a great career down there. So we'll visit with Chris here in a few minutes. We start out each week with our look ahead segment, kind of giving you a little preview of things to watch in the local, regional, national sports world and what we're paying attention to. And of course, that would start with March Madness, the NCAA tournament, both the men and women down to their Sweet 16 rounds. Been very chalky so far, meaning favorites advancing. So if you picked a lot of upsets in your bracket, you probably can crumple those things up right now because it's not going well for you, I would imagine. But looks like UConn on the men's side and the defending national champion, and then, of course, South Carolina on the women's side, the perennial number one all year, looked very tough. So would expect those two to continue on rolling right through this weekend as we get down to a Final Four for the following weekend. Missouri State Baseball Bears are back home this weekend. Get out and check them out. They're playing a series Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Hammonds Field against Illinois State. It's a Missouri Valley Conference series. Bears are 10-12 overall and 1-2 in the Valley. Won the opener last weekend at Indiana State in a clash of the favorites in the league, and then dropped the next two. So the Bears will be looking to bounce back. They've got a Tuesday night game this week against SEMO coming in before Illinois State comes in on the weekend. So go check that out. Bears continue to be led offensively by the sophomore from Lebanon, Zach Stewart. He's hitting .351 with 8 homers and 15 runs driven in. He'll be an MLB draft candidate shortly. And then freshman Caden Bogenpohl has 6 homers and 19 RBIs. So those are two big bats that, as the weather warms up, should send the ball flying over at Hammonds Field and over the fence. Guys to watch in that regard. Drury baseball is off to a great start in GLVC play at 9-3. They're 11-11 overall, and they're home this weekend for a big series with rival Quincy. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series to avoid playing on Easter. They'll play 2 on Friday starting at noon. So if you haven't been to Mark Orley Field at Metter Park, the renovated Metter Park with turf, artificial turf, just a lot of new amenities over there, get out and check it out as the Panthers take on Quincy and what should be good weather days Friday and Saturday in particular there. Finally, it's opening day for Major League Baseball, the real opening day, not the one that the Dodgers and Padres played a 2-game series overseas here last week, but get started on Thursday. The Cardinals have a very tough opening task when they go to L.A. to play the Dodgers in the series. The Royals will be home starting Thursday with Minnesota, and, of course, the Twins picked to win the division as well. So a tough start anticipated for both those teams. When I look at the Cardinals for the year, I really like the offense. They got some good young guys. Jordan Walker in his second year should be fun to watch. Mason Wynn getting a shot at shortstop. But the pitching scares me. They got a lot of old arms in that rotation, and we'll see how they can hold up. And on the Royals side, they locked down Bobby Witt for a long-term contract. Love that. Vinny Pascantino's back. Got some good young players to go around Salvi Perez. They brought in some veteran pitchers. Expect the Royals to maybe surprise some people and be in contention for a while in that Central Division of the AL. Our special guest on Around the Ozark Sports Scene today is the retiring head basketball coach of the Republic Lady Tigers program. He was 530-178 in 25 years as the boss man at Republic. He is Chris Flood. Chris, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. Announced the retirement about 3 weeks ago. Any second guesses of the decision, or are you pretty solid in what you decided?
No, I was very comfortable with the decision to go ahead and step away. So it wasn't, you know, so much the coaching. I love to keep coaching as far as that goes, but some of the other stuff was starting to kind of dwell on me a little bit with some of the teaching and things like that. So, you know, I'm not totally going to say I'm done with coaching. If something were to come up, I would probably look to step back in if I could.
Sure, absolutely. And a lot of guys do that, and especially if there's a like a private school opportunity, or probably don't want to go out of state because you're pretty much a Republic clever guy, aren't you?
I am. Now, I tell you, I have a new grandson up in Kansas City, so that, not that that's that far away, but, you know, you just never know about something like that happening.
Absolutely.
As far as getting up there.
Yeah, so. And Kansas would qualify as one of those states that would not be Missouri.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, just a great career. Congratulations on that. And of course, you and I go back to your days as a player at Clever, when I was a pup reporter at the News Leader and covering the high schools, and you guys had pretty much a dynamo in that Class 1 world back then. I'm trying to think. It was Flood and Kubetsky. Was it Sean Buzzard? Wasn't Yancey Little on that team too?
He was the year before me, but that was, we were still having we had a pretty good run his senior year, and my junior year, we had a pretty good team. Just kept running into the wrong team in the quarterfinals.
And that would be Scott County Central, right? And Ronnie Cookson?
Scott County Central. We lost them 2 years in a row in the quarterfinal.
Which, you know, you guys probably, and like most of the people in the area, considered that the state championship game at that point, too, in Class 1.
Felt like it, because, you know, when they came out with the final rankings, they were first and we were second. So I felt like the respect was there from the voters as far as what they thought about that.
Was that, now who were your coaches at Clever back then?
Well, for 3 years, my freshman through junior year, I had Steve Ketchum. He came in. He followed Kent Hedgepeth.
Uh-huh.
Hedgepeth was there, and Ketchum come in and took that position. And then my final year was Greg Garten,
yeah.
My senior year.
Yeah.
Ketchum decided to go to Branson. He took the job at Branson.
Okay. And so, you know, with all those guys who you're just great coaches. Did you kind of catch a coaching bug at a young age? When did you kind of decide that's what you wanted to do?
You know, I tell you what happened is it was Greg Garten contacted me. I think I was a sophomore in college, and asked me if I would. He had just got the Republic job, and he asked me if I would be interesting coming in and being his 7th and 8th grade coach. And I had filled around with stuff in college, and I just kept finding myself going back to education and wanting to coach, and that it timed out just really well.
So that was junior high boys, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, be able to coach while I was still in college at that time. They would do emergency coaches or whatever they called it. And that's how I basically got my foot into Republic, was through that position. And always thank Greg for that opportunity, because who knows what would have happened. But it timed out when I graduated college. Just happened to be a teacher that was going to step into another position. And a PE job opened up, and I got a call that summer, and the shortest interview I ever had lasted about 5 minutes. They said, "Do you want it?" And I said, "Yes." The rest is history.
Now, did you assist McWhorter, Dave McWhorter?
I did. Yeah. I went ahead in my first year of teaching, officially teaching. I still had junior high boys, and then the following year is when his assistant, Mike Thorne, was stepping away, and I put my name in for it, and Did that for 3 years.
Was there
with Coach McCorder?
Yeah, was there an adjustment period for, you know, I mean, you'd played boys basketball, you coached junior high boys. Coaching girls the first time, was there an adjustment for you?
Definitely. They're a little more outspoken. It took me some time to adjust. And they really initiated me my first year. Because at that time, we still had like an athletic hour. And Coach McCorder was an administrator at that time. So he could go do last hour athletics. And I'd go over there and I was, you know, just fresh. And they picked on me a little bit. So it took me some time to adjust to the girl side. But once it started clicking, it was fine.
In that regard, how different is Chris Flood at year 25? In terms of dealing with that situation than the one who started? What did you learn over the years?
Well, for sure, I felt like girls, once you sit down, you know, set things down, they are more disciplined. You know, you do have to pay more attention to details and fundamentals and things like that. You hear people say that. But I truly do believe that girls are more apt to really concentrate on that stuff there, as far as that goes. But, you know, I was, and you watched me coach, I was pretty intense at the beginning. But I'm telling you, the last 5 or 6 years, I have really, I've kind of calmed down quite a bit, if you ask people.
I was going to say, at the beginning, you know. Well, and what's funny is, you know, and having known you for so long and relationships with several of your players, you know, not only from my time of covering them, but then being at Drury for 11 years, I kind of reached out to some of them last night. I won't mention any names. Amanda Newton, Alice Heinzler, Kamen Beckemeyer, maybe some Tori Mooneyham mixed in there, but you know, I said, tell me some good Flood stories that we can kind of hit him with. And not a single one of them was able to ignore the sport coach stories. that there were bets in the stands and in the coaching staff on how soon the sport coat would come flying off. I guess my question is, why did you ever wear a sport coat in the first place if it was coming off?
I don't know. My coaching staff, they like to dress up, you know, at that time. And my wife, I didn't control my outfits, Scott. They controlled my outfits.
Who did? Your wife and the coaches or players or what?
Well, in particular, my wife and Coach Mooneyham.
Uh-huh. They picked out your clothes for you?
Oh, they'd get to get. Yeah, you would talk, and I'd have my stuff laid out. That was what I was supposed to do. They like to coordinate.
Did you learn a technique for getting the sport coat off quicker? Was it pretty tough at times?
No. It was tough. I've struggled. I had a few struggles. I had a kid this year. It came off. It may have been our last regular season game. And I was trying to put it back on after the game, and I couldn't get one of my arm sleeves or something to function, and I had one of my junior kids, just she kind of pulled on it and helped me. And that was, we had a good time next day at practice with that.
That was a sign that
did you know who helped you? I said, no, I just know someone. It was one of her players, Sammy Watson. She goes, Coach, that was me. That's real sweet voice.
And maybe that was a sign that it was time to give it up after 25 years when you can't get the coat back on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mentioned
I did have to pull it off the last game there against Kickapoo. But part of that reason was because that gym was sweltering hot. It was hot in that gym that night when we played that district championship game.
Yeah, I think they're going to rename it the sauna at Glendale. You know, its gym's got its own little name there, the vault at Great Southern Bank Arena, the sauna at Glendale. Well, I mentioned some players, you know, that I've known through the years, and and reached out to. But, you know, you look at 25 years and over 500 wins, and I think it was, what, two state championships in 04 and 12, and I think I counted up nine or ten COC titles and district titles. You did a great job of coaching, but you had some pretty good players along the way too, didn't you?
I did. I really did. We've been, honestly, to hold that consistency, that's, you have to have players. And we have been blessed for a long time to have, you know, just never had, I felt like, you know, my theory is if you get back-to-back classes that might struggle a little bit, especially at the art school level, you could run into some trouble. And we just never seemed like we encountered that. You know, as long as you got two or three kids out of each group, kind of stuck with it, was really blessed in that part. So, yeah, I've had some really nice players, and a lot of them have continued at the next level. You've mentioned a couple there with the Heinzler and Plotner. I got privileged. She was one of my first kids I coached, so she's definitely one of the best players I coached. You know, thinking of the jury kids, Stanfield.
Mm-hmm.
Stanfield, I had the privilege of coaching her. Coaching Sparkman, there's a lot. There's a lot of kids I can name. But Kelsey Locke is probably one of the most talented kids I had, just because she was, I felt like at her time, she was unique. She was that big 6'1", 6'2", kid that could play your point guard spot. At that time, I'd never had that before at Republic. But she was a kid that could play on the outside, but then go into the post if she had to.
You know, the names I mentioned, Amanda Newton and Heinzler and Kamen Beckemeyer, the most recent one. Did you see some?
I can't forget Kamen.
Yeah, don't forget Kamen.
She was, again, kind of one of those, for us, one of those unicorn-type kids. She was just so special in things that she could do. Just handle the ball. She could guard. She's probably one of the best defensive players I've had. Probably I'd put her in my top three defensive players, but then also go into the post. But I'll let you go on.
Yeah, well, and I was just going to say, Kamen now, of course, a freshman at Missouri State, finished up a great season with the Lady Bears. And like you just said, I noticed, you know, in the like the Valley Championship game, she's down there guarding a post. And she's, what, about 5'9", 5'10", maybe?
5'10", probably 5'10".
Yeah. And what I was going to ask you was, you know, When I think of Alice Heinzler and Kamen and Amanda and all the great ones you had there, did you see something in them maybe coming up? Did you know you had something special? Was it maybe something intangible with them that got you excited? That I understand Kamen lasted, what, all of basically one quarter or one game on JV before you told Tori that, yeah, I've got her now?
Yeah, that was pretty much that deal was sealed once kind of saw her. I mean, we knew in junior high what her potential was, but once you saw her in practice, there was, you know, and this, to me, this is another thing with girls, is you can have like a freshman that can immediately impact the varsity level. Sometimes with boys, I feel like they have to, they're just a little bit behind cheering, but we were, you know, like I said, we've been blessed with some freshman kids that could impact a varsity game right out of the gate. And of course, she was one. But, you know, she just, I think the main intangible with all those kids is just how competitive they are. And still to this date, you know, I hang around with them and you know, still friends with them and things like that. And they're still, it doesn't matter if we're playing you know, pitching horseshoes or something like that. They're going to be competitive the whole time. And they just didn't like to lose, period. It ate them up.
Alice brought up a story about no-ball practices, that when you're really aggravated, there might be a no-ball practice. And I guess her junior year, there was one, and you didn't lose another game the rest of the way. Was that a floodism?
Yeah. We called it a character-building practice. I remember exactly when it happened. We had lost, not to say anything negative about Carthage, but we got beat down at Carthage, not just got beat. We got beat pretty good. And it didn't look like we were focused. So told the kids we're going to have a character building practice next day. And I don't think, I hadn't done very many, but that group didn't have any clue what it was. And it literally, they ran out racquetballs. We just conditioned and focused, and we'd stop and talk and get redirected. And just one of those. After that, like you said, we didn't lose another game.
Amanda brought up a great question.
I want to tell you who introduced that to me. And that was Greg Garten.
Yeah.
It wasn't even basketball, it was a baseball game. He was our baseball coach, too, for us. We came home, and he took the bus straight to the baseball field, turned the lights on. We go, what in the world's going on? And we went out, and I'm telling you, we ran pole to pole for a long time.
I would say Greg Garten as a player.
That's where I got that from.
From Garten, yeah, that if he ever heard a no-ball practice as a player, he'd just gone home with Garten, because that would mean no shooting.
I don't know about
that. Another player, former player, wanted to know, how many weddings have you been to since you started? Because you've had to spend a lot of money on wedding gifts, haven't you?
We have. And I'm telling you, especially the seems like it's been more lately. And it's like it could be every weekend. But I'm blessed in that sense that they still, you know, keep us, respect us, and keep us in mind. Coach Mooneyham and I have attended several weddings. They're starting to have their own kids and just getting to see them. And it doesn't make you feel old, but it makes you feel, like I said, it makes me feel tremendously blessed to have been part of so many kids' lives.
Well, and speaking of blessed, I know you were elated to have Tory Mooneyham at your side for how many of those 25 years as assistant?
She's been all 25.
All 25, wow. And you know, I look
all
at
25.
You know, Brock Blansit at Nixa, you know, he waited for his chance to replace Jay Osborne there and got it and has done fabulous things. And you look at Leslie Hanchey at Kickapoo, what she did as an assistant, all those years biding her time. I know Tori's a candidate to replace you. I personally think it's a no-brainer. She ought to get her chance. Do you like what she brings to the table?
Yes, I mean if you want a person that is truly black and orange through and through, you can't find a better person. She is Republic, no doubt about it. I mean, of course, going to school here, came back and coached here. There's no doubt in my mind that she is capable. She's ready. She is ready to be a head coach. She probably could have done it several years ago, but I feel like, just my personal opinion, she should be the obvious candidate to take over the program. And hopefully I hope they recognize that and do the right deal, make the right choice. That's just, but like I said, sometimes opinion's my opinion. No, necessarily going to come through, but that's what I would do in this scenario.
You know, her most valuable role, and she'll admit it, was either trying to calm you down or convince the officials just to keep walking and you'd be okay. How many technicals did she save you from getting, you think, over 25 years?
I don't know. It's probably been several. Several. She's a good... I think they have them in football sometimes. They call them the get-back person.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can pull on the coach. She was really good at that, about getting a hold of me and get me back. I will say that. It happened several times. I know that.
Well, and she also had to go retrieve the sport coat because you weren't going to get your own sport coat, right?
No. Yeah. She set it back on the chair, whatever. Just do that.
What was the shortest time that it ever stayed on? Do you remember?
I can't.
Were there any first quarter jacket removals?
I don't think. Maybe. I think I could survive first halves. Mm-hmm. It was probably more towards that second half when it, you know, especially if it was an extremely intense game, which we had a tendency to find ourselves in as far as that goes. But ever since they changed, you start seeing these coaches now and they wear more pretty casual, either coaching gear or, you know, no ties and shirts and stuff. I kind of bought into that. That's what I like. But we get to these important games and they take over. The two take over, and they say, "No, we're dressing up." So, I go with them.
Who was your favorite rivalry? The one that you knew that you had to be on top of your game against that other coach or that other school every time out.
Of course, Knicks has become a big rival. My last 10 years. That one. Me and Coach Perryman and even Coach Middleton, we've had some really good games. Coach Talbert now, they were always a rival. There's always, you know, the connection with Republic and Willard. We've had some good games with them, and then of course the time that when Yancey Little was coaching Ozark, that was at that time a rival.
And that was your best friend, right, growing up?
Yeah, correct. And then just that, you add that little piece in, and it was always a little more, you know, intense as far as going against each other.
And don't forget Kickapoo.
And Kickapoo. I got focused on COC. Yeah, Kickapoo. Kickapoo is, and of course, they've, up till lately, they've always kept us on the schedule, which was always nice because it that helped, you know, when it came district times and things like that, but just also a good team. So, yeah, we had some really, Leon Neal and those groups, we had some really good games with them. Pender. As far as that goes, but you know, that conference is changing next year, so they're gonna have the chances to see each other for sure now.
Well, gonna wrap it up with my last question about why Republic for 25 years, because you know your best friend was the AD at Ozark, and I'm sure he had a chance at openings to probably try to pry you away. And when you win 500 games over a career, you're going to get opportunities, but you never left. And I guess one thing I would think immediately, because I know all those administrators, is you've got a school filled with former coaches that are in leadership, and they understand parents and expectations and everything else. Was that a big part of it?
Yes. And it just, you know, honestly, I don't like change very much. So once I got settled, and I knew what the kids were capable of, and I'd been kind of silly to probably step away or even look at something different. But I've went through several administrators. Dr. Pam Hetchpeth, she's one that sticks out to me. I've had, you know, Greg was my AD, Leo Clanton was my AD, and lately Trevor. Trevor's been tremendous to work with. He's one that you can approach and go in and have a discussion. He gets it. I mean, it helps being that coach, and, you know, he's the son of a coach, and he knows how things are when parents get, you know, maybe just a little bit off tracks, or they think something's going the other way. It's always helpful to have those type of people to, you know, just for communication pieces and things like that. And just someone you can, you know, people you can lean on and talk to and not be judged.
And community support. I know with the way Republic's growing right now, that's only going to get better, isn't it?
Yes, and always felt like we had pretty, you know, really good crowds. I feel like we've always been backed extremely well. That final game up there at Glendale, that was played in front of some pretty good crowds, but that was a pretty good app. That was one of the better atmospheres I've been in. You know, it's when you're having kids having trouble hearing you, and I'm fairly loud, so when you see that and it's that type, you know, it's a really good atmosphere.
Well, I've enjoyed covering you, and congratulations on a great career, and I'll just give you one chance to answer this question: that if you took all those Republic administrators and you let Garton come into play in your prime, who wins a one-on-one tournament between you and Trevor and Timmy and Tony Armstrong and Garton and Amanda Newton and Tori? Who comes out on top in that?
If you're talking players in their prime, that's Greg Garton.
Did you really just say that?
Yeah.
You're going to give him that satisfaction.
I'm telling you, if you're talking in their prime, I'm taking Greg Garton.
What about now?
Now I'd probably take Tim Brown.
Well, Timmy can shoot it, can't he?
Yeah. And he's still in. Tim's in good shape. He takes care of himself. He's not like me. Lets things go, and you know, he's in pretty good shape.
Who'd be the best trash talker now of all those?
Oh, trash talker.
Tony's probably still got game, doesn't he?
Tony would. Tony. Yes, Tony does still have. I tell you, he is, before practices start, a lot of times, like, especially if you get, I've had, you know, Kent Hedgepeth helped me the last 3 or 4 years. You get them two together before practice, and it's entertaining.
I can only imagine.
It loosens things up. It makes you feel a lot better.
I bet. Well, Chris, congratulations.
It's safer and intense practice.
Yeah, I bet it does. Yeah. Congratulations on a great career. Best of luck to you and whatever that next step is, and appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks so much for doing this. It's like I said, Scott, it's always fun to talk to you. You always tweak the memories and things like that. It helps, you know, to think about going back to that stuff and just all the great things that have been fortunate enough to be a part of.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, thank you.
As we do each week, we finish up with Scott's thoughts, my ramblings and musings about the world of sports, things that are on my mind. And we start out this week with, at this taping of the podcast, it appears that maybe the Bears are going to bring Konzo Martin back as their head men's basketball coach. Of course, Missouri State fired Dana Ford about 3 weeks ago. It's been kind of quiet on that front as Missouri State AD Kyle Motes, President Cliff Smart checking out candidates. This is kind of a weird feeling on Konzo coming back. Of course, he had a three-year run with the Bears back from 2008 to 11. His final season produced the first Missouri Valley Conference regular season title and only. And, of course, he left that job for Tennessee, then went to Cal, and then was at Mizzou for 5 years. It didn't go real well up in Columbia for him. He's been out of basketball coaching now for a couple years. It'll be interesting to see how he adapts now to the new world with NIL and the transfer portal running crazy. I know the Bears have had their top seven players either in the portal or have graduated, so Zoe's got some work to do coming back. Like I said, kind of a weird okay reaction to that hire. Not a bad hire, not a sexy hire, but we'll see how that turns out because it's a guy that had won here before, and we'll see how that transpires. Get back with me in about 3 years, and we'll be able to reevaluate this much better. The Chiefs dealt away Janarius Sneed, their outstanding cornerback, last week for a couple later-round draft picks with the Titans last week. On the surface, you're kind of going, what? But the Chiefs had serious salary cap issues, had to get under the cap number to make some other things happen and fill some other needs because they're pretty solid back there in the secondary with or without Sneed. He's 27 years old, which is kind of on the back end of the age thing for cornerbacks. By the time you paid him his money, which was about $20 million or more, and if you sign him up to a multi-year deal, the end of that deal, it's looking like you've got an old guy back there that may not still have the speed that he had to cover before. So just a necessary move for the Chiefs, one that maybe fans don't like, but in the long run, it's one that's going to pay off in some other guys they'll be able to afford now and to keep, like Chris Jones, they were able to keep him around too. So finally, congratulations to the Evangel Valor. They finished their first trip to the NAIA Sweet 16 in about 15 years by reaching the Elite Eight over the weekend. Coach Burt Capel, who was a guest on our last podcast, doing a great job with that program. They came up just a little short against the number one team in the country, Grace, in that Elite Eight round. So great job by the Valor. Going to be fun to watch how their program continues to rise under Capel with the new Valor Center opening on campus next year as a nice, shiny new toy for Coach Capel to go recruit people with. Thanks again to our sponsor, Fast Break Sports. It's baseball season. That means you ought to have the bug for sports collectibles, whether it's cards or memorabilia. Fast Break Sports is your only place in town to go get that stuff, the largest selection in the Ozarks. Go see them. And once again, thanks for listening. We appreciate you, and we will see you next week here on Around the Ozarks Sports Center.